Blog Talk Radio.
Father God's at Sunday Mass. His homilies are eloquent, inspiring and relevant. Midweek comes, he's much more brief. Well, he just reads the gospel and then he sits down. Our Mass in the middle of the week. Our Mass in the middle of the Sunday Mass, the music's great. Freddie Dartmouth leads three choirs. Heavenly music takes us high. Monday comes with silent strength. We could surely use his help, but Fred's not around. Our Mass in the middle of the week. Our Mass in the middle of the week. Our Mass.
I think you think there must be more to it.
Our Mass in the middle of the. Sometimes Mass feels like a race. When Father God gets into it, he gets out in 10 minutes. Afterwards I stick around. I'll pray the liturgy of ours a few minutes more. It's a paradox. Go to church with no one. Talks on Sunday school. No coffee. Ours inspiring. Inviting. Nothing I don't disapprove of. Deep inside I feel love is firm and kind. In quiet time, oh so divine. In the daily grind. Father Giles at Sunday Mass. He's a hero for a day. Teaching sinners how to pray. It's good to see his midweek faith. He would still be pressing on with no one around.
Our Mass in the middle of the week. Our Mass in the middle of the week. Our Mass. This is where we hear God speak. Our Mass in the middle of the week. Our Mass. It's in Latin and in Greek. Our Mass in the middle of the week.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. Tonight, Dr. Thompson will lead an in-depth examination of one of these Eucharistic miracles. Here now is Dr. Thompson.
Good evening, all the way around the world, ladies and gentlemen. God bless each one of you. And we have something special for you to share with those that you love. Reach out way beyond what you hear tonight, because it's one of the first times that one of these was tested by scientists. And to the degree, how is anyone not Catholic after knowing what happened in Miss Lanciano today, especially with our technology getting this out to the world. I know, Donald, I know you shared on several different platforms on the internet, but it definitely needs to go around the world. Every one of you know people we don't know. So if you love them, or if you feel like it may be that the good Lord asks you if you were to die today, why didn't you say something to that friend? And we'll get into that. but it's so important. You know, this is the talking about the height and summit of our faith, you know, the Eucharist. So we're going to find out some special things tonight, some Eucharistic miracles, some miracles that the greatest miracle that you have when you go to Mass and receive the Eucharist, you receive sanctifying grace. Nothing more powerful in the world than that. If you're prepared to go to Mass, you've made a good confession in recent times, if need be, and you've gone in with a pure heart, believe our Lord, and you're going to see how much He loves you, be showing you what you're going to hear tonight, and to share that with your friends. In fact, I wouldn't go to sleep tonight unless I shared that. That's what I'm telling you right now. Get ready to share. Get ready to love those that God surrounds you with, because everyone that He puts in your path, we have a responsibility for at a moment in time to alert them to what's going on in the world. I'm going to say a quick hello, and then I'm going to give an introduction to this tonight. First, Donald, I always want to thank you for making it possible that we could be up and running on these things. I know that you have to deal with technology sometimes, and that's a pain sometimes because we're live on something when we can't be live. It's a little testy for us. But we, by the grace of God, He allows us the opportunities, and we try to take another chance for you. Thank you, Donald, for that.
Well, thank you, Greg. And I like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, and we all partake of the one bread. And consider this, the practice of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices partners in the altar? What do I imply then? Well, that's what we say. In fact, St. Paul goes on to say, you cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? And so, Greg, what we're talking about tonight, what we're sharing tonight with this miracle that we're going to be sharing, it just shows that when we go to Mass, our Mass, Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And He shares and shows that tonight, doesn't He?
Amen to that. It's a joy when your eyes are open to be able to see what He presents to us tonight, because so many people don't see. And we need to help all that are put into our path, not knowing whether they see or don't see, but make it possible that they at least know. Because the King of Kings, your Creator, made it possible for you to be on this radio program tonight, be able to hear us tonight, because it's very, very important. And another one that's very important to this program is our Southern connection. God bless you, Doc. Thanks for being here.
Okay, and here he is. Hey, Doc.
Hey, y'all. You know, I'm sitting here listening. Oh, by the way, I like your song, by the way. You're opening. So I'm sitting here listening to what you're talking about, how God has made His presence known throughout the years. And, you know, I had a thought, you know, God has manifested Himself in, you know, unbelievable miracles, raining down fire and frogs and whatnot, separating the sea, raising the dead, creating food. He has manifested Himself in word through the gospel and the creation of the church here on earth. And He has manifested Himself through visions, you know, the miracles and the visions and all the stuff that He has given us to understand who and what God is. And what people fail to realize is we're barely out of preschool as to what God actually is. Our understanding is literally, you know, I think putting it, you know, our understanding of what God really is that putting it at a preschool level is being generous, you know, and God understands this. I mean, when the first, you know, Adam and Eve and everything, they knew God on a more intimate level than, you know, two or three generations down the line. And it's sad that the further the generations go, the further we get from God. And that's mainly because we don't talk to him. You know, it's become passe. We don't pray enough. We need to pray a lot more than we do. But it always, and I guess what I'm trying to say here is I always find it shocking and to some extent a bit arrogant when I hear these people talking about God like they truly understand what he is, because they don't, you know. I was thinking about the text of the story about where the, you know, the kingdom of God is the seed. And he, you know, he threw the seed out and he landed in one. It was rocky and one it was green and one it shot up and went away. And the thing is, we're the seed. People ask, how can God let these bad things happen? But God didn't let them happen to us. A lot of times it's our own choice for not listening to God that got us in trouble. But that's not what God does. And we need to decide, we have that free will to decide what kind of seed are we going to be. Are we going to be the kind of seed that grows and flourishes and spreads the word of God, the gospel, and you know, evangelize? When was the last time you heard of a great evangelist? A great evangelistic event like back, you know, during Pentecost where 5,000 people were converted. You don't hear about that anymore because people aren't out doing it. We need to be that seed to where that's what we're doing all the time. You know, you can be a seed that can bear good fruit or you can be one that withers and dies. It's up to you. Anyway.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all tonight, everyone that's out there. And we're getting ready to get started here because we're talking about a Eucharistic miracle that's over 12 and a half centuries old. And what was finally brought to light for us, knowing that something very special happened that day, but how it became even more special to us as the scientists looked at it. You know, and it was looked at in such a way that we know some things now, and we've got to see it in at different venues around the world now over the last 50-plus years, at different places in the world. And it's just a awesome, awesome thing when a loving God gives you a wake-up call. And a wake-up call that we can, like St. Thomas, say, my Lord and my God. We have that getting it moment. And that's what we're about here, at, you know, with what we do, is to give people that getting it moment. And maybe it'll be the moment in time. So listen to this first, to this introduction, and then let's comment on that, and then we'll go into the Eucharistic miracle. As we look into the mind's eye of a doubter that came to believe because of a loving and merciful God, and a believer who believed fervently and became a victim sold for others also because of a loving and merciful God, how is it possible that 70% of Catholics have little or no belief in the Eucharist? Do we do all we can to bring others to the Eucharist? Or do we talk about how sad it is that so many do not believe, and you have to do nothing for the Lord to help those that are at great risk for eternity without the Eucharist as part of their lives. If you hesitate at all, think on this question. If Jesus stood before you today and asked you, why did you not let those I put in your path know what you know about the Eucharist? Listen to that question. I want to say it again. If Jesus stood before you right now today and asked you, why did you not let those I put into your path know what you know about the Eucharist? And you replied, but I felt uncomfortable. Or they don't listen to me. They won't listen to me. And the Lord responded, child, if you love me, try. Know that if even one says yes and turns back to me, this is a great blessing for you and for them. So please try. So I'm putting that question to you as listening, and can we not at least try? At least try. Could you share what you have been given by God's grace to know? Not because you are so smart, but because God first loved you so much that you had an opportunity to say yes to him. Now share. Because many are blind and cannot see. Even if you can't do backflips now, imagine that because of your efforts, someone is in heaven with you and Jesus, and he looks at you. Now remember, he's God, right? And says, well done, my good and faithful servant. I think, this is me personally, I think that you would want to do backflips across heaven. My love and prayers are with each of you. And I pray for each of you through our mother, Mary, who puts her mantle of protection around you as you try to come closer to her son, because that's what she's all about, is to glorify her son. So when you have these Eucharistic miracles and you share them, Jesus is smiling and Mary is smiling because her first thing in her existence is to glorify God. She points at him, never points to herself. So do it for Mama. Do it for her son. And so let's take a moment and speak to that. Don, what do you think?
Well, it's our motivation. Jesus is our motivation. Jesus, I love you. And to know God, to serve God, that is our mission in life, to know God, love God, and serve God. And if you want to be wise in this life, that's our mission. Mm-hmm. That is to...
I heard a story once about this Protestant and this Catholic talk. Protestant asked about the Eucharist, and the Catholic told him what the Eucharist was. And the Protestant thought about it for a minute, and he said, you know, if Protestants believe that, they would never leave. They would never leave the altar if they believed it. And then you see adoration, and you might see four or five people there. You know, we Catholics, you talk about what the Eucharist is, and when I'm asked, I tell them. I don't, like, stand on a street corner and yell at the people, but if I'm asked, I will tell them. You know, we Catholics have been given a gift, the most precious gift in all the cosmos, rarer than any diamond or gold or precious garbage that you could possibly imagine. And it's given in an abundance, and it's given freely without reservation. You know, all you have to do is believe in it and know what it is and accept it and accept what it is and what it represents. And I tell you from personal experience, your life will never be the same You know, I heard this poem, and it's really beautiful, and I didn't write it down, but basically you're in this hole, and you can't get out, and you found despair, and you hear a voice that tells you to use rocks and sticks to build a ladder out. And you do, and you still can't reach. And you just, I had the best I could, I can't get out. And then you hear a voice, climb the ladder, I'll lower a rope. And you climb out, and there's God. And you ask, what can I do for you, freeing me from that despair? And he points around, and there's holes all around you. You know, you got it. God, everybody says God's going to get me out of it. God doesn't do it that way. You got to step up to the plate. You got to pick up your cross and follow me. God doesn't, he didn't invite us to a picnic. He invited us to a battlefield. And we need to be the warriors for God. We need to say the rosary. We need to say our prayers. You need prayer coverage. But more than that, we need to step up when we see things that are wrong and be that shield for society. But, yeah, we've been given the Eucharist. The Eucharist is, I mean, it is one of the most powerful weapons in our arsenal. And sadly, it's taken for granted. You know, I more veneration needs to be paid to it. The gift that Christ gave us in the Eucharist, there is no value that can be placed on it because it's beyond value. You know, it literally is priceless in every sense of the word.
Well, you know, Doc,
today's saint,
Blessed Angela Salwa, she asked and prayed to her guardian angel to render her invisible so that to remain the entire night in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And through the intercession of her guardian angel, God granted her request. And in 1917, Angela became ill. After 5 years of suffering, she died on March 12, 1922, in extreme poverty. And at her beatification in 1991 in Krakow, Pope St. John Paul II said of her, "It is in this city that she worked, that she suffered, and that her holiness came to maturity. And while connected to the sanctity, spirituality of St. Francis, she showed an extraordinary responsiveness to the action of the Holy Spirit." And so what you were saying about the Eucharist was the way and what, how she demonstrated her love for the Lord in the Eucharist. She asked her guardian angel to help her in Eucharistic adoration all night. Ain't that something?
Roger that. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. Yeah.
Amen and amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's go ahead and get into it tonight. Thank you guys for the introductory comments. And the only thing I want to mention, so I don't forget it, Don, is Donna Corey sings much better.
Okay. Well, she definitely sings better than I do, that's
have,
sure.
I'd rather have her leading the Eucharistic miracles. Okay.
Oh, okay. The one who sang that, though, is a convert to the Catholic Church, too, and it was the Eucharist that brought him to the Catholic Church. And I'll tell you this, he sent me some of his music when I was in the Middle East, and I gave it to Philippine ladies, and I was able to help them with the Eucharist, and so that a Catholic priest would give them the Eucharist. And so that is awesome, and it very much it really is.
Well, I love to hear that story. Now make sure Donna Corey leads us from now on.
Okay.
She's a real good singer. And
oh,
inscription
of course
in marble.
Uh, She's my sister.
An inscription in Latin. An inscription in marble from the 17th century describes the Eucharistic miracle, which occurred in Laziano in 750 AD at the Church of St. Francis. A monastic priest doubted whether the body of our Lord was truly present in the consecrated host. He celebrated Mass, and when he said the words of consecration, he saw the host turn into flesh and the wine turn into blood. Everything was visible to those in attendance. That means everybody in the congregation, guys, got to see what you're hearing about tonight. I can't imagine anything except all of them desiring to go to heaven, you know, for the rest of their life. The flesh is still intact in this Eucharistic miracle today. It's still intact. And the blood is divided into five unequal parts, which together have the exact same weight as each one does separately. In 1970, the Archbishop of Lanciano and the Provincial Superior of the Conventual Franciscans at Abruzzo, with Rome's approval, requested Dr. Edward Linoli, director of the hospital in Abruzzo and professor of anatomy, histology, chemistry, and clinical microscopy, to perform a thorough scientific examination on the relics of the miracle, which had occurred 12 centuries earlier. On March the 4th, 1971, the professor presented a detailed report of the various studies carried out, and here are the basic results. What is so sad that it didn't hit every media in the world at that time. It did go into scientific journals around the world, but how many of us take that? But anyway, here's what the scientists found. The miraculous flesh from that Eucharistic miracle is authentic flesh consisting of a muscular striated tissue of the myocardium. If you're not familiar with that, when you hear that, that is saying it's heart tissue. The miraculous blood is truly blood. Don, what kind of blood is it?
It's AB positive, and it's when you're talking about heart tissue, we're talking specifically of the left ventricle, and that's significant too, because it's the left ventricle that pumps out the oxygenated blood out into the systemic system, and so when you look at that from the Eucharist, our Lord is pumping out that oxygenated blood, AB positive, out into the systemic system, the body of Christ. Wow.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. The chromatographic analysis indicated this with absolute and indisputable certainty. That's for all those that are out there and say, well, what does science say? Well, that's what they say. They told you with indisputable certainty. And the immunological study shows that with certitude, again, that the flesh and the blood are human. And the hematological test allows us to affirm with complete objectivity and certitude that both belong to the same blood type, like you said, Donald, AB. The same blood type as that of the man in the shroud, and the type most characteristic of Middle Eastern populations. The proteins contained in the blood have the normal distribution, and the identical percentage is that of the serous proteic chart for normal fresh blood. No histological dissection has revealed any trace of salt infiltrations or preservative substances used in antiquity for the purpose of embalming. Professor Linoli also discarded the hypothesis of a hoax carried out in past centuries. This report was published in the Scoville Notebooks and Diagnostics collection 1971, and it aroused great interest in the scientific world. Wouldn't that do that to you if somebody, if they knew what they were talking about, would it not create a great interest in it for sure?
I do also believe, yeah, I could be wrong on this, but I believe I heard that it was a blind study. The scientists didn't know where the material came from.
Well,
you know, although
that didn't happen with this one, it did happen to other ones that come later. What you're talking about is so important, I think, because I love the fact that whenever we have a blind test, that the person, that he's just telling what he sees in a scientific sense, and that it agrees with those that know what it is that do the same test. And they use different methodologies all the time in these different ones you see over the past years and the coming years. As we go through one of these, hopefully about every quarter we're going to let people see, especially in case there's new ones and in case there's an affirmation of those that have may have heard it in the past. But this can bring in details just like Scripture, where you read Scripture and you say, oh, I didn't see that before. And that can happen so many times in all the things that we do in life. And this is a great opportunity to reinforce what we do know, but also to increase our faith and how we might be able to present it to others, you know. So also in 1973, the Chief Advisory Board of the World Health Organization, that's the one we're having trouble with now, the World Health Organization, appointed a scientific commission to corroborate Lonely's findings. I don't believe that they were wanting to corroborate it because many in that community in the World Health Organization are not Christian, and some of them are even atheists. But they went ahead and did the work. They're wanting to disprove it, I think, by many of them. If they were trying to prove it, they'd all be strong Catholics by now, I would think. Their work lasted for 15 months and included 500 tests. In its own way, you talked about a blind test, Doc. This was a major test in different ways, trying to impact people that maybe had a different agenda. They did 500 tests in a 15-month period, and it was verified that the fragments taken from Lanciano could in no way be likened to embalmed tissue. As to the nature of the fragment of flesh, the commission declared it to be living tissue because it responded rapidly to all the clinical reactions distinctive of living beings. Their reply fully corroborated Professor Lignoli's conclusions. In the abstract summarizing the scientific work of the Medical Commission of the World Health Organization and the UN, published in December 1976 in New York and Geneva, declared that what they declared was that science, aware of its limits, has come to a halt face to face with the impossibility of giving an explanation. Science can do all they can, but they can't.
A miracle.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that's right. You know, some of the supernatural science at different times tries to do what they do as scientists, but what they're doing is something that sometimes is impossible for the scientific community to do without faith. If they didn't have faith going in, and they don't have faith coming out, we can't do anything about that except pray for them, you know. But anyway, we're going to connect someone to that because of her Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich sustained more than 10 years on the Eucharist. Anne Catherine Emmerich was forced to abandon the monastery in which she lived because it was being appropriated by the government. In that period, her health declined and the mystical experiences increased. She received the stigmata and had numerous visions. One of these allowed the finding of the house of Our Lady in Ephesus. In fact, according to antique traditions, it seems that Mary settled together with John the Apostle in this city. The miraculous aspect of the life of Anne Catherine is that for years she fed only on the Eucharist. Another Eucharistic miracle, miraculous happening of the Eucharistic miracle, like Anne Catherine was born in Germany on September 8, 1774, into a family of farmers and began to work very early. Later on, a religious vocation matured, and she asked to be admitted in several monasteries, but she was always rejected because she was very poor and had no dowry. Only when she was 28 years old, she was accepted in the monastery of Agnes-Dinsburg, where she joined the monastic life with fervor, always ready to take the most difficult things. I don't think many people have jobs like that, do they? Just give me the most difficult task. One night, while she was praying, Jesus appeared and offered her a crown of roses and a crown of thorns. She chose the crown of thorns, and Jesus put the crown on her head. Suddenly around her forehead appeared the first stigmata. Later on, after another apparition of Jesus, the wounds also appeared in the hands, feet, and side. In 1811, the monastery of Annetberg was suppressed. Anne Catherine found hospitality as a housekeeper for a priest, but soon she became ill and was bedridden. Dr. Wessner, a young doctor, visited her and remained very impressed by the stigmata. During the 11 years that followed, he became her friend and faithful assistant, having also a diary in which he would transcribe her visions. Meanwhile, the nun practically stopped eating. A little bit of water and the consecrated host were enough to keep her alive for years. She was very devoted to and wrote many pages about the Holy Eucharist. My desire for the Holy Eucharist was so vehement and irresistible that at night I would often leave my cell to enter the church. Often I would genuflect and prostrate towards the Blessed Sacrament with extended arms, and sometimes I would enter into ecstasy. Anne Catherine later joined her suffering, that of Jesus, and offered it for the redemption of men. She became what's called a suffering for souls. The most famous biography of Anne Catherine was the German writer, Clemens von Brentano, who wrote all of her visions. Brentano compiled thousands of pages about the Blessed, many of which must still be published. In one of her most famous passages, he wrote, "Anne Catherine stands like a cross at the side of the street to indicate the right direction to the faithful. That which she says is brief but simple, full of depth, warmth, and life. I understood everything, always happy, affectionate, dignified, marvelous, always ill, agonizing, but at the same time delicate and fresh, chaste, tried, lucid. To be seated at her side meant to occupy the most beautiful place in the world." You know, that's what Doc said earlier. You know, it's a wonder that any time there's adoration, that the place isn't completely full. If people knew what the Eucharist was, even if it's only 30% that know, you wonder how there's not a perpetual adoration year-round, all around the world.
Yeah, lying around the block.
Yeah, exactly. Do either one of you have a perpetual adoration chapel or someplace close to you?
Not too far, not too far. Prince of Peace, there, the Catholic Church there in Olathe. It's a little ways from me, but not too far.
There's one in Kentucky, Hopkinsville, Kentucky. So, it's a ways, bit of ways.
Well, we have it in the morning, and my friend moved to Liberty, Missouri. He's down with the Sisters of Mercy, and they're a country home. So one of my best friends that was a daily mass goer, a sacristan, helped fix and do things at the church, helped fix and do things at the school, helped just in his late 70s and just quiet. You wouldn't even know that he was existing if you didn't know him. But he did all those things, and he did the community garden. Was the number one person that planted, fruit weeded, gardened probably it's a half an acre at least, and that's a lot of work. He made sure it was watered on a continuous basis, and he just was quiet. He would come to church every day to Mass. He would come to do the rosary and the Divine Mercy. And if he was still here, he would have joined us with the Station of the Cross tonight and other nights. So it's just a great joy when we have a brother or sister close enough that we can really knows a true brother, true sister. And I have that feeling with you guys. I just wish I was closer to y'all. But I know that the good Lord gave me you as brother. And you both inspire and strengthen my walk to eternity. And we just need to do all we can for other people's walk. You know, so... Anyway, any more thoughts about tonight?
Well, we encourage people to go to Mass and receive Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity in the state of grace, and to go to confession often. And I think that is important. Pray for those who are held back by heavy burdens and heavy addictions that need, and we pray for deliverance from those addictions. And so that's a major focus that we have here at Deeper Truth. Those who are contemplating suicide and contemplating abortion, we pray that they will open up to the Lord who can heal us.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Guys, you know, there's battles out there all across this country, for those that hate the good Lord, hate those that, you know, that Satan has, I believe Satan has many of them that are still dupes because they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah. They're out there.
You know, it's real life. The attacks go on daily all around the world. And some of them are very vile against the mystical body of Christ, the Roman Catholic Church, the Bride of Christ.
Well,
you know,
I think once we get our collective heads together, we could accomplish some amazing stuff. I know we can. And I'm going to actually ask everybody out there to do that right now. I've actually started a rosary novena. It's where you say three novenas to the of the rosary. It's nine times three. asking for a petition and then three novenas saying thank you, whether you've gotten it or not. And I'm also saying the novena to St. Jude and to St. Raphael and St. Peregrine, who is the patron of cancer. The reason I'm doing this and I'm asking everybody out there to join me is they gave my brother a very short window of survival, 3 months, give or take. I think I can go up there and beat the living snot out of this cancer with the proper prayer cover. I'm a strong believer that when we bum rush the walls of heaven with our prayers, they don't go unanswered. Now, it may not be the answer we want, but an answer will be given. And I'm hoping it's the answer we want, the answer I want. He's a good man. His name's Norman. He's not Catholic. We worked on that. We didn't grow up together. But he goes to church. He raised his family on his own, his children, without a mother. She wasn't in the picture, and that was unfortunate. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't have any vices at all that I know of. He's a good man. He worked tirelessly for his family, and he needs your help. So, anyway, like I said, when we band together, you know, in faith, I know we can accomplish a lot of things, so I'm asking everybody for that help. So, anyway.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
We have a prayer in the Rosary Patrol asking us to pray for us to be like Christ. And so that's a good request.
Amen.
It is a good request. And while you're on that request, Cardinal Burke has just recently asked for a 9-month novena because of all that's going on in the church and in the world and in this country. A 9-month novena is what's being asked. And so, I myself am saying yes to that, and hope that those listening tonight can find it in their heart, knowing that it's one of the most powerful things we can do for those that we love, is mass adoration and the Rosary for sure. So be on your knees, ask the good Lord for the strength to do it, because we can have best intentions just like Peter did, and still in our flesh deny Christ. So ask good Lord through the Holy Spirit to give us the strength that we need for such an undertaking. And then become as much as possible. And let's say that you're listening and, well, I was doing real good for 10 days and on the 11th day I forgot about it, or something happened and it distracted me, and it's okay. Just keep going. It's just keep going. Good Lord knows before we even say anything. You know, he knows. I have a friend, what I was talking about earlier. He can't kneel to receive the Eucharist anymore, but he still comes up and bows fervently and receives on the tongue. You know, he's making every effort he can. Like I told him, I said, God already knows if you can't do something because of physical limitations. So don't get upset. I'm looking for the day that I may not be able to kneel and receive the Eucharist on the tongue. I hopefully will always be able to receive the Eucharist. But if I can't kneel, I pray that I'll be able to, no matter how painful it may become. But and just that the Holy Spirit give me that strength for that moment in time. And
yes,
we even had one time
For the most part, that's the only time I do get on my knees during communion. And I have to help getting up.
And here's another prayer request. Here's another prayer request coming from the Rosary Patrol tonight. Please pray for Ava, a young woman who is 5 months pregnant and contemplating abortion. Please open her heart to the beautiful life within her. So that is a prayer request here in the Rosary Patrol. And so we pray
for
Ava.
Let's stop right now and do those prayer requests, Donald. And we have a brother with a brother also that would like a prayer. We'll do his prayer request also. So let's go ahead and pray for Ava. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, may the Holy Spirit enlighten her mind and give her the strength to do your will and not our own will in our flesh for all the different reasons a person may be afraid and maybe think they can't do it for different reasons. Lord, give her the strength. Give her what she needs in spirit, mind, and body, Lord. Be able to glorify you with the birth of this little one who's already there, the innocence in the womb, that it's maintained all the way for this young lady, Ava, and God bless her, Lord. And also a very special prayer, Lord. I'd like help on this one, you know, those that are closer to him. But I'm close enough over the airways for a few years now with Doc that I want to say a special prayer for his brother Norman, who I think is on the last part of his journey to eternity. Is that correct, Doc?
Yeah, we've only known each other 6 years.
And how long did you say they're indicating he might have?
3 months.
3 months. Oh, God love him. Yeah. And Norman, if you can hear us first, if you can hear us, please pray for us when you stand before the good Lord, because we need a lot of help in our human endeavors to help us be stronger evangelists in everything we do. Norman, a special prayer for you in spirit, mind, and body for all that you need to have peace and joy that's beyond human understanding, realizing that you will be with the good Lord real soon, that you can take those prayers for the love of your loved ones. You know, to pray for your brother, to pray for those in your family, your children, your wife, those that are still with you in this walk. Lord, we pray that his pains can be used to uplift others to eternity, especially those that Norman loves. Norman, may God give you a joy and peace that comes from God, that you can experience that and have a smile when it's time for you to enter into eternity. And go ahead, Doc, if you want to do one.
Oh, dear Lord, you know who we are. You know the seed that we are. You know the seed that we're supposed to be. Help us to find that truth and be that person, and be with my brother and help his body to recover this. I'm asking for a miracle. I know that's true. And I'm asking that you give us this miracle to better prove to the doubters that you are supreme over everything. Amen.
Amen. And Donald, anybody else need prayer there?
I've not found
Donald,
anything more on the Rosary Patrol. And that's a good point right there. And if anyone does have any petitions that they would like to have us share on our radio shows on tonight, like Eucharistic Miracles and also the Journey with Mary, we share these prayer requests for and we have people who pray for these request. So thank you, Greg. I think that is good that we try to respond and pray for those who are in need of help.
All right. And make sure we bring Mama into the mix. Sometimes we hesitate a moment, but in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. Remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection or thy help and sought the intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, and fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer us. Amen. The Word incarnate dwelt within Mary for 9 months. So, very close. No one loved Jesus more than Mary. No one loved Mary more than Jesus. So, let us ask that I call the most powerful duo that we have, God and His Mother Mary, to intercede through the Holy Spirit to guide all of us in the steps necessary to bless those around us and those that are ill or dying, Lord. Since we do not know when that's going to occur, you know, someone tells us 3 months, it might be 10 months, but it also might be 3 days. So let us pray every day fervently for those that we love. Lord, give us the word to say, the strength to do what's in your will, and to bring your will, to bring them into your presence for eternity, Lord. I ask that for all my brothers and sisters out there around the world, and please keep us in your prayers also as we go forward as brothers and sisters in Christ, that all that we do is to glorify the good Lord, honor His Mother, and defend the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the pure bride of Christ that exists. Okay? God bless you all, and have a wonderful see you next week, and thank you for all being here. God bless you.
Thank you.
And we pray for those who are caught in the eye of the storm, like we pray for Ava and all those who are contemplating suicide and contemplating having an abortion. We pray for those who are held back in bondage due to high, terrible addictions, whether it be at drugs or pornography or whatever the addiction might be. But we pray for those, Lord, who need deliverance, who are caught in the eye of the storm. And so we will share this.
Stop.
Thank you for joining us on this special edition of the Catholic Defender, where we examine the truths of our faith and why we believe it. Our guest host tonight has been Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. It is our hope that after listening to this program, your faith is strengthened and you can truly say,
I believe in miracles.
Please be sure and join us next time when Dr. Thompson brings you an in-depth examination of a Eucharistic miracle, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.